Hello everyone, this is Dan Sheridan and welcome to Sheridan on Romans. This is a program where I will be discussing Paul's letter to the Romans, and I hope you will grab a Bible and join me as I go verse by verse through this book. And again, just as a reminder, these are just my thoughts on this book, and I hope that I can teach you in some way and that you will learn something about God's great purpose as revealed by the Apostle Paul, the Apostle of the Gentiles, to us today. Now, before I get started in Romans, I just want to make a few introductory comments. First of all, is that the importance of understanding Paul's letter to the Romans. You know, in every job out there today, there usually is some sort of prerequisite knowledge in order to enter into that profession. Take any profession, whether a doctor or a lawyer or even a dime store counter clerk there, you all have to have some kind of knowledge of your job before you do that job. And you have to go through some kind of training to prepare for the job that you are doing. And if that's true of just about any common profession, would that not be true even in regard to Christianity? Now, in Christianity, the basics of Christianity are found in Paul's letter to the Romans. And yet, I think we're living in a day where people think they can get by without having a good grasp of what Paul has written to us Gentiles today in Paul's letter to the Romans. Romans is the ABCs, as it were. These are the prerequisites of Christian living. And if I may speak so boldly, I really am under the impression, if I understand my Bible correctly, and this, especially this letter of the Romans, that until we're instructed in the first 11 chapters of Romans, we really won't have the right understanding on how we are to live. And our life, the things that we do, whether it is being a husband or wife or a father or a child or a businessman or an employer or worker, we should be our Christian walk should be lived in the atmosphere of what God has taught us through the Apostle Paul in Romans 1 through 11. And in other words, in Romans 1 through 11, the Apostle Paul lays out the great teachings, the foundation teachings of Christianity. And then in chapter 12, he then tells us that we should, on the basis of that teaching, present our bodies to God for service. And so it's doctrine first and then service. So I'd probably sum it up this way. Our Christian walk, that is, the things that we do in our everyday life. Remember, and this is important, not everybody is called to teach or to preach or to be an evangelist or a pastor. Very few are. 99.8% of believers out there are called just to live, among your homes and neighborhoods and just be shining examples and walking in love toward those around you. And so in order to live properly, I think we need to carry the atmosphere of Romans 1 through 11 into whatever our situations are. So this is the importance of these first 11 chapters of Romans. Now I'm going to give you a homework assignment for those of you who are listening, and I would say we're going to divide up the letter to the Romans in a couple sections. The first section, and I hope you have a pen and paper ready, and if you don't, go back and you can listen to these programs for free on crossandthrone.com. Again, it's crossandthrone.com. Now here, so you can go back and listen again and write these sections down. First of all, Romans is divided up. In the first section, we have Romans 1 through 4. I used to break it up to Romans 1 to 3:20 and then from Romans 3:20 to 4, but Romans 1 to 3:20 shows that man is sinful and he's all of sin and come short of the glory of God. And I decided I don't want to leave you reading those sections on a negative note. I want you to go right on to the solution to our problem. And that's why I think we're going to read Romans 1 through 4 as one section. So read Romans 1 through 4 over and over again. Maybe read it once a day for a week and ask God to teach you the great teachings of Romans 1 through 4. So the first section is Romans 1 through 4. The second section would be Romans 5 through 8. And this is a great section. And Romans 1 through 4 we can probably call justification. Romans 5 through 8 we can call sanctification. And then the next section is Romans 9 through 11. We might call that dispensation, God's dispensational dealings. And then Romans 12 to 16, we might call it vocation. And by the way, I didn't intend for those to all sound the same, but they just, it might be a good way to look at it. Romans 1 through 4, we have justification. Romans 5 through 8, we have sanctification. Romans 9 through 11, we have dispensation. And Romans 12 through 16, we have vocation. So what a great thing to do is to take each one of those sections and read through them over and over again. Read Romans 1 through 4. Ask God to teach you and read through them at one sitting. And after you've done that a bunch of times, go to Romans 5 through 8. And do that a bunch of times. And I would almost consider that each one of these sections are important to read multiple times. Read them over and over again. And God, through Paul, is dealing logically in Romans, building on one teaching after another. First, we have the great teaching of justification in Romans 1 through 4. And then we see in Romans 5 through 8 the teaching of sanctification. And it's interesting to know when we get there, and this is a great truth, friends, that sanctification is just as much a gift of God, and it's something that belongs to the believer now, regardless of his practice. And it's just as much the gift of God as justification. Now, we're not going to rule out that there is such a thing as practical sanctification, but practice always comes after doctrine. So Romans 1 through 4, we're justified. Romans 5 through 8, we're sanctified. Romans 9 through 11, we see God's dispensational dealings with Israel and the nations. And then in Romans 12 to 16, we see our vocation, that is our presenting our bodies to God and walking worthy of the great Christian name in Romans 12 to 16. Well, we're going to start by reading just the first seven verses of Romans 1. And if you would turn there with me, we're going to read Romans 1, verses 1 to 7. Now, here's it starts, Romans 1, verses 1 through 7. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, for years I used to read through these passages, these introductions to Romans and Galatians, all these introductions to the letters, and I just would read through them real fast and get to the meat of the letter. But let me just say that Romans 1 verses 1 through 7 contain so much truth, it would be a shame if we just ran through them. Just like the Gospel of John, the first 18 verses of the Gospel of John are kind of a summary of the whole book. And I would dare to say that Romans 1, 1 through 7 is also kind of a summary of the whole book of Romans in very miniature form. And so let's give this section a good look over here. Obviously, we can't exhaust everything, but we want to give it a good look over here and look at what Paul is saying in these verses. Now, the first thing we read in Romans is the first word that calls our attention is Paul. It's a name, Paul. When you and I write letters today, well, email has changed things because you can see the name on an email right away, who it's from. But back in the old days when we'd write letters, we'd sign our name at the bottom. You'd have to look at the last page before you found out who wrote you the letter. But when Paul wrote, the first thing you saw on a letter was his name, Paul. And so this is important because I want to make a comment here, is that the Lord attaches as much emphasis on the messenger as he does the message. It's the Lord's messenger and the Lord's message. And if you can discredit the Lord's messenger, you can quickly discredit his message. And this is true of the Apostle Paul as well. People tried to malign him and speak evil of him because in so doing they can turn people away from the message that he proclaimed. And so this is a true statement even today, that God puts a great emphasis on the Lord's messenger. There's a prophet who says, thus saith the Lord's messenger in the Lord's message. And I was actually just trying to find that verse. I believe it is in Habakkuk. I didn't make the marginal reference here for me to find it quickly, but this is a true statement. There's a verse that says, thus saith the Lord's messenger in the Lord's message. Well, I don't have that available right offhand, and I thought I had it. But anyways, if you do your search in your concordance, you'll be able to find that phrase. And the reason the Lord's messenger and the Lord's message are important, once again, is if you can discredit the messenger, you can discredit the message. Have you? And that's how it is in a court of law. I was watching not too long ago a movie, and it was... one of the things that was going on in this movie is there was a witness, and one of the things the opposition wanted to do was discredit the witness, because if they can discredit the witness, they can discredit his testimony. And the same is true as with the Apostle Paul. Paul, more than any other writer, and I believe more than any other character outside in the Scriptures, was mistrusted, persecuted, went after. And you find everywhere he went in the book of Acts, his enemies followed him, and people distrusted him and misrepresented him because of the message he proclaimed. And I think we're living in a day very similar to Paul's day, that today Paul, his message, is being misrepresented and maligned and confused with God's message for the nation of Israel through the Apostle Peter. And even our Lord Jesus' message when he was here on earth as he was speaking to the Jewish people. And this is important, that we recognize that God has sent a man named Paul. Paul is not the Savior. He's the representative of the Savior. The risen Lord Jesus on the road to Damascus raised up Saul of Tarsus, who is called Paul, and sent him to us Gentiles. As a matter of fact, the Lord Jesus said to Paul, he said, I am sending thee to the Gentiles. And they're going to hear this salvation that you're going to proclaim. So friends, hearken, pay attention. God is a messenger for us today, and that messenger is the Apostle Paul. All the Bible is for us. And let me just say this, each one of us should be Bible readers. We should study the Bible cover to cover. And I dare say that everyone listening to me can get through the Bible once in a year if you sit down and take some time every day and read through it cover to cover. And I hope you do that. And one great study method, I believe, is reading through the whole Bible once in a year. Maybe read 4 or 5 pages today, starting with Genesis. And maybe at nighttime, read one chapter in Paul's letters. And that way you'll get through Paul's letters in the Bible in the entire year. Very important. Well, that's all we're going to have for today. Again, this is Dan Sheridan. If you want to keep this support this program, you can reach us at P.O. Box 421, Round Lake, Illinois, 60073. Again, my name is Dan Sheridan, P.O. Box 421, Round Lake, Illinois, 60073. Or you can give me a call at 847-312-4676. Again, 847-312-4676. And our website is crossandthrone.com. Have a great day.